No, we should totally make that our new theme song. It sounds good, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Don't be like that, right?
The mask is back.
Yeah, but it's a little
itty bitty mask.
We're gonna get to that.
Itty bitty mask.
Itty bitty bitty boo. Itty bitty.
Are we reporting?
Are we reporting? Reported live.
Are we rapporting?
You're listening.
No, wait. Sorry. In a world where three guys talk about comic books.
This is Comic Geek Speak
listens.
Episode 3641.
Woohoo!
Oh my god, our brains are so linked! No, it's not Comic Geek Speak, it's Jason Wood, everybody. Brian's so lost right now. And so is everybody who listens to this unless they listen to 11 o'clock comics. Which they should, because it's a pretty good show.
In a world where people listen to us.
Yeah, that is not this world, but still. Welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the
weekend. In a world
Wednesday.
Where I haven't kissed a girl in 17 years.
That's not true.
I'm 20
You kissed
years
a girl,
old.
You liked it.
In a world where I kissed a girl.
And he liked it.
And I liked it, and she didn't.
Well, that just makes it kind of creepy and rapey when you say it like that. Like,
no, she was willing.
Like, it was consensual.
It was
she
consensual.
She just didn't enjoy it.
It was after.
It was consensual, but disappointing.
It was after.
Is that how you would describe your sex life, Ryan?
Consensual
but disappointing?
I think I'd go disappointing, but consensual. More emphasis on disappointment, is what I'm trying to say.
Don't joke about consent, Ryan. You know what? And by the way, cosplay is not consent. Just for the record.
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah.
I like that they. I wish they didn't have to put up signs like that, but they do, and I get why. Because people are the worst.
Do people like? Hey, if, let's say a member of the fairer race dressed up.
Come on.
As a,
don't call them the fairer race. Do you mean the fairer sex?
Fair. Oh shit. Sorry.
I like how you didn't know why I was stopping. You're like,
no, not at all.
They are fairer. I think they're super.
I mean, we're all right here. We're the fairer race. Just our skin is more fair. I mean,
oh, so when you say the fairer race, you mean white people?
I mean, we're not better, but
yeah, nor are we
better.
In any way good at justice. But
no.
Our skin is very prone to burning.
Yeah, so we win. Anyways,
yeah, go away. Yeah.
But the fairer sex. Where was I going? Okay, if a member of the fairer sex. Cosplayed up. Is that how it would be?
How about just cosplay? You don't
cosplay.
Have to make a stupid
I don't know the terms of this because I don't understand the culture of cosplay.
Convention.
I don't understand it at all. But now...
What's to understand?
Now,
you put on
is
a fucking
it,
costume,
is
go
it,
to a convention.
Is it like a common occurrence that they get like grabbed and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, it is.
Really?
That's why they have to... That's why
that's
it's
so
such a,
fucking weird to me.
It's just...
And people think that's good? Like, people
Dude,
think... Not
go
good,
on
but
Reddit
people think
sometime.
That's okay.
I was on... I made the mistake going to a comic book subreddit recently.
Yeah.
I never made that mistake again. And it was like, all these bros high-fiving each other laughing at this picture of a guy dressed as Deadpool slapping a girl on the ass. And I was like... They're like, ah, because Deadpool, get it? I'm like, I hate Deadpool and I hate all of you. I'm leaving this shithole. But you know what, guys? We've talked about how toxic a lot of the culture surrounding comic books is. But this week, all I can say is, at least we're not video games. Have you guys heard about any of the more recent video game shit?
No.
Because, holy moly, have you guys heard of, I forget the name,
yeah,
something starts
it's Feminist Frequency.
Yeah, Feminist Frequency does
yeah,
these videos, and they're excellent videos, actually. I've watched all of them. They're
I haven't watched any of them.
No, they're actually but. Really good, and I think that she does an important thing, blah, blah, blah. Regardless, that's not the point. I should have changed these to see them. Well, they're gray screen, it doesn't matter. Never mind.
Riveting.
But the most recent one, like, this has gotten so bad that her and some other people involved have had to, like, leave their homes because of, like, legitimate terrorist threats.
Yeah,
and, like,
I saw the one she, like,
it's
like, it got
gone,
retweeted
like,
into my feed, the one
oh,
that was,
man.
Like, your address, blah, 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 I'm gonna come and rape
yeah.
you. And it was really,
like, it's
really,
really disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, it is beyond anything. Like, so, you know, that's horrific, and you video game nerds should be ashamed of yourselves for... having such a culture, and it makes me feel better about comics because we suck, but we're not video games. Unfortunately, I think that's mostly because there's only like 95 people who still read comics instead of everyone who plays video games, but I'm going to take it as a win.
Now, in fairness, I play video games. I have never once raped anybody. Or told somebody
well,
I was
no,
going
to. The problem isn't necessarily that video games are training people to be rapists or even... what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
I thought you were saying
like
that all video
people.
Gamers are
what
rapists.
But what it's starting to appear like is that video games aren't causing people to have violent behavior. They're causing them to have sociopathic behavior. And it's not that they're becoming violent. They're just being abusive. You know, so it's like, it doesn't seem to translate over to the violence, but it certainly seems to be showing a propensity for gratuitous and indescribably despicable, abusive language and threats and such.
Terrible. Language? Like saying frick?
Yeah, like frick. Like frick.
Oh, I can't believe, don't tell my mom.
Your mom doesn't.
Don't tell your dad, I swore.
We haven't talked about how stupid your mom is for a while. Does she like Pulp Fiction yet?
No. She.
That was like one of the first episodes we ever did with you when you told us all about how stupid your mom was because she didn't like Pulp
Fiction.
It's so dumb. My mom's
so
stupid. Hey,
She's big on Candy Crush right now. Both my parents are. And
what? Wait.
Yeah.
You told me badass Billy Hath is playing Candy Crush?
He has his own iPad now. And okay, more correctly, he bought my mom an iPad like 3 years ago. And then this is gonna sound really dumb, but she complained that it was too heavy.
That is pretty
now
dumb.
Now in well okay I'm not gonna go into that, but anyway, so she complained she wanted one of the new ones, the Mac or the iPad Airs.
Yeah.
So then my dad got her that one solely just so that he can just take her old one now, because he like. Constantly would play Sudoku on it.
Oh, really?
But now he's found out about Candy Crush.
I just can't picture badass Billy Hath playing
they
Candy
have, like,
Crush.
Weird, like...
secret lives that you
no,
can only guess
they have. They, like, get so competitive about it and make fun of
really?
Each other to the point where I'm, like,
please
fairly
don't
sure... Not even a divorce, just, like, don't give her a bruise. Because, like, this is going to be weird.
A bag of sweet Valencia oranges. Can I just point out...
Because, like, I'll get two Christmases, but it'll be tough to take the one from my dad.
I just want to point out that both of you are wearing t-shirts of bands that I cannot listen to. They are too noisy. To be fair, I haven't listened to Kid 666 in a long time, but the last time I heard it, I remember being like, this is too much, I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack.
Gets a little noisy.
Have you ever listened to Greymaker?
No, but...
you can assume.
But I know what kind of music you listen to.
Yeah, it's this guy, and he sounds like this. It's the weirdest thing. It's like if Kermit the Frog sang for a hardcore band, but it's got cool
Hi-ho,
riffs.
Hi-ho, Kermit the hardcore band here.
Pretty much. But it's got good riffs.
Yeah!
So.
Oh, it's got good riffs. Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, speaking of good riffs, this is a segue into something I read this week. good riffs. You know who else has good riffs? Glenn Danzig and Henry Rollins. And you know who else has a wonderful relationship? Glenn Danzig and Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins is kind of a shitty, like, piece of shit.
I like Henry Rollins. What's wrong with
him? I didn't remember... I read something the other day about him that I can't remember, but it was, like, this really dumb rant that he went on.
He goes on lots of rants. He's very opinionated.
And, but also, like, his opinions are fucking... Sometimes they're really stupid, and I don't know. I don't...
I think most people...
I'm like, the only hardcore kid that doesn't fucking... Or, like, former hardcore kid that doesn't just worship at the altar of Rollins.
I like Rollins, particularly when
I prefer Seth
music.
Rollins.
I like Seth Rollins
very much so.
But no, I mean, I like his radio show. He plays cool music. And
he's like a...
When he's not talking about... I don't know. I think he's an interesting guy. He has a lot of opinions, yes.
He has, like, some really cool stories.
Yeah. I've seen him live doing his spoken word stuff a few times. That's pretty entertaining.
He's
not talking about, like, going to Iraq and stuff, because that gets a little boring. But.
See, that's, like, the most interesting thing about him to me. Like, I don't give a shit about Black Flag, because I don't like Black Flag.
Black Flag.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
And
we
you know what?
Cigarillos, right?
I would say about 60% of the time I try to say Black Flag, I say Black Fag by accident.
That's called a Freudian cock. Slip. See what I did there?
He's going to slip his cock in me?
No. I can't believe that you didn't get that.
I did get it.
Well, then you...
yeah, because I study Freudian. Anyways.
Can I talk about
this
fucking comic
yet or not? This is it. Hold on. But anyways, I think it's really interesting that he goes to, like, North Korea and shit. And that's, like, the only thing I really think is interesting about Henry Rollins.
You also like Dennis Rodman?
No, not really.
For the same reason.
For the same... For similar reasons.
Because they... Never mind.
What were you going to do?
I was about
You're going
to
make this
No, I was about to say they were both in Black Flag, but I really didn't want to slip that time either.
You're both in a black bag, is what you're going to say. That's disgusting, right?
And then I kind of like stifled myself and it hurt my throat.
You know what? You belong in video games.
In a world where
Vamp
I
for a second.
Can't
you're
speak.
You're talking like video games right now.
Vamp for a second. One, two.
So, what was your favorite?
Hey-o.
Oh, wait, that's the end.
Right, anyway, this is the book I'm talking about. It's called Henry and Glenn Forever and Ever by Tom Neely and Friends. And it is a romance comic about the married and domestic life of Mr. Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig.
Sorry, Cam Neely wrote it?
Tom Neely.
Oh.
Not the hockey player. Hockey
Kick
player?
His ass, Seabass. Yeah, he was Seabass in Dumb and Dumber.
Was he?
Yeah, that's Cam Neely. Former power forward for the Boston Bruins.
They live next door to Hall & Oates, who are also robe-wearing Satanists. In the first issue, there are cameos by Lars Ulrich, James Hetfield, and Lou
Kirk
Reed.
Oh.
It's one of the funniest comics I've read in a long time. And, like, Glenn Danzig is drawn, like, in a Little Lulu style. It's such an amazingly awesome, funny book. And, like, there's so many little in-jokes from the music that it's parodying. Like, the whole premise of the first issue, you end up discovering that Danzig has hidden in underneath the lawn in the front yard in a secret trapdoor his mother. And, oh, God, it's and his mother looks like Mrs. Grundy from Archie comics. It is seriously.
Does he tell her children not to walk this way?
It is so funny.
Get it? I made a Danzig joke.
So, yeah, and so this collects the four issue, like, small press issues that he did, as well as a bunch of pinups and other comics and stuff by other people. And holy shit, this comic is funny. I love that this exists. I'm so happy we live in a world where Henry and Glenn Forever and Ever exists.
Have you ever seen that video of Danzig getting knocked out by, like, that big ball dude?
Yeah. No, it sounds awesome.
It's amazing. Like, YouTube it. Because it's like, they totally play it in there. Where he goes, because in the video, Danzig goes, "Fuck you, motherfucker," and pushes the guy, and the guy just, like, just clocks him.
Really?
Like, he is, and he's just, like, out. It's amazing.
The only
and it was
thing
like,
I knew Danzig from, because I never was really into the Misfits until way later, and I saw them live, and they were one of the worst things I've ever seen live in my life.
Yeah.
Long after Danzig was long gone.
See, that's the thing, like, the only time to ever see the Misfits, if there ever was a time, was, like, original lineup.
It, well, exactly.
And that's
yeah.
it, right?
I like one of their albums, I like a handful of their songs.
Yeah.
But,
they're fun.
But, the only exposure I'd ever had to Danzig prior to listening to some of their music more recently was he's in an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I don't even know if it's actually him doing his own voice.
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
I think it is, though, but, like, he... It's one of the funniest episodes of the show. It's called The Cybernetic Ghost of Christmas Past, and the walls in Carl's house start bleeding, so he ends up selling the house to Danzig. It's an extremely funny episode, but, yeah, that was my exposure to Danzig before.
I never really got that show. I'm going to be
honest. Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I've never...
Oh, my God, I love it.
I don't know. I think I was put off by the fact that I had friends who, like, swore by it, but they all smoked a lot of weed.
Well, I don't smoke any weed, and I really like it, so... Have I ever led you astray, Ryan? I usually have my finger on the pulse of what you will find funny, don't I?
Yeah.
I feel like you would probably like Aqua Teen Hunger Force if you got into it, right?
Like, I've watched it, and I don't hate it, but I've just... I there's something off-putting about it, and I think it's just the fact that, like,
their
my friend were, like, skeevy potheads.
I
would
point out that there is a lot of stoner humor stuff in the world that I love despite not smoking pot.
See, it's weird, because I love Kevin Smith movies.
I find most, like, weed humor, or, like, that kind of culture humor stuff really entertaining for whatever reason.
Like that movie How High with Method Man and Redman?
I haven't seen that, but I probably would like it.
It's the silliest... Oh, it's.
I love silly things.
It's yeah, it's like half baked, but not as good. And that's saying something, because half baked really
that.
Isn't that good of a movie.
Yeah,
actually, I like
half baked. I mean, everyone kind of likes half baked because they saw it when they were in junior high, and it was kind of transgressive and kind of, you know, like this.
And because everybody loves Dave Chappelle.
I like Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, he's okay. Jim Brewer is, like, the worst, but he's really funny.
My favorite Dave Chappelle thing ever was when he played, what's his face? What was the character's name? Achu in Robin Hood Men in Tights. I am a sneeze, father of Achu. That was Isaac Hayes who played that character, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie since, like,
oh, my God, 94. I've seen that movie so many times.
I haven't seen that movie in so
long. I've seen that movie more times than any human being should probably see that movie. It's like my sister's
favorite
movie.
Mel Brooks,
movie.
Right?
Yeah, my mom loved that movie. Growing up, it was the Mel Brooks movie I saw most. Like, now I'm older, my favorites are actually are Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles. But, man, I watched Robin Hood and Bites a lot.
I remember watching it, like, with my cousins a lot when we were kids, and then I haven't seen it yet in, like, 15 years, at least 20 years.
Cool.
Maybe 40 years.
Well, oh yeah, I guess that was my... So do you guys have anything you want to talk about before we jump into the meat of this episode?
Wait, I'm going to talk about my two books that aren't my favorite.
Okay.
Silver Surfer has All Red Drawing, Hulk, and Doctor Strange. It's good. Almost my favorite.
Boy, we're such a good review show.
Saga.
This is why people tune into the show.
Saga.
Searing insight.
Mm-hmm. Saga has Fiona Staples with a one-page spread of a girl farting a galaxy. So...
pretty good.
It's also really good. It was also almost my favorite.
That's
but
not
it's
your favorite?
Sad. No. That's my favorite page, maybe ever. But it was, like, really sad. Silver Surfer is, like, really happy. So I found a medium ground with my favorite.
I was happy.
There's no really sad, no really happy in my favorite. It's just cool.
Yeah, I didn't read any new comics this week because I didn't get my books till today. But I read a bunch of old stuff, which we can talk about later. But
I can't even read.
The meat and potatoes of this pod will be, it is the last Wednesday of the month, which means it's previews week, which means
we
just get to talk about all the stuff that's coming out 3 months from now. That sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Nope.
Yeah, I wasn't being rhetorical. You guys were supposed to answer that.
Nope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, oh my god, that's so much easier. Sorry, the way I was linking all these files together earlier was taking like an hour, and now I discovered I can do it with one click. Fuck, I hate when I learn these things so late. God.
You should take a class.
Yeah.
In typing.
I just
touched your foot.
Aww.
It felt hoodie.
I wondered why I had a boner.
Hey, did you guys see what happened in a soccer game? I don't know which soccer game, but it went to penalty kicks, but 3 minutes before the end of injury time, the goalie got kicked out.
Really?
And they had a defender playing in goal during the penalty kicks, and the guy actually scored a goal, too, during penalty kicks. Like,
really?
Yeah. It was weird. I think they still lost, but yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I just know the goalie was ejected like 3 minutes before the end of the game, and then they went to penalties. I'm trying to think. It was English.
You
got to
be really mad at your goalie at that point. Like, you fuckhead!
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Dark Horse Comics is the first one in the book because they go alphabetical. Or at least they go alphabetical until you get to the small press, then it starts from alphabetical again. Because unless you are one of like the major six publishers, you have to be in the green pages.
Politics, man.
Sorry, you know. Anyway, Resurrectionists number one. Fred Van Lente, Maurizio Rosenzweig, what a great name. And Moreno Dinicio.
Another great name.
New
and,
ongoing series.
And Juan Doe does the cover, which I'm pretty sure is a fake name.
Yeah, it probably is.
Juan Joe.
I will say
Juan
that reading the, it's a new creator-owned series from the artist who did Clown Fatale, which was really good, and Fred Van Lente, who is also really good. I like Fred Van Lente. Just reading the description, it sounds actually a little bit like Five Ghosts.
Cool.
Like this person, Jericho Way, who is a resurrectionist, so he can like remember and become his past lives, so he has all these distinctive people that he can change into for a given task, but just like the preview art showing it, like this sounds very similar, at least in execution, to Five Ghosts. But Five Ghosts is really good, so if you're gonna.
Yes.
And Five Ghosts is also like an homage pastiche of a lot of other stuff, so.
Hey, as an aside, we totally forgot to mention, Rob's not here.
Oh, we didn't say who we were. I'm Joey G.
Do we even say what show it is?
I did do that, yeah.
I'm Ryan, the trailer guy.
And joining us again, former special guest, now just basically regular cast member, Justin Higgs.
Hello.
Hey there, bud.
And Rob is in here because he got stung by a bee. Unfortunately, he's definitely allergic and he's probably going to die tonight. But
he's waiting in the car for us to finish walking.
I replaced whatever is in an EpiPen with just like
apple
water.
Juice.
Yeah. water and apple juice. So it's just watered down apple juice. It's apple water.
Good prank, though.
So he, yeah. You got him so fucking good, guy.
It was a good prank, I will admit. there's not a lot of new stuff starting from Dark Horse this month that I feel like mentioning. Dark Horse Presents number 4 looks good.
Ooh, there's what's this mind management?
It's issue 26, I think, isn't it? Or 29?
28.
28.
I have never heard of it.
But Dark Horse Presents this month, that month will have Alex DeCampi, Brendan McCarthy, Tommy Alleyn Gray, Tyler Jenkins, Keith Champagne, Evan Dorkin, Jerry Ordway, Andy Kuhn, and Leonard Kirk. So that's pretty cool. And the Palmiotti and Gray story is called Wrestling with Demons, and it's like people who are literally having, like, wrestling matches with monsters.
I'm into that.
I figured you would be.
Unfortunately, if there's no buddy cops, I won't buy it.
They need to do more buddy cops. Yep. That's the best book.
They need to just do buddy cops.
Buddy Cops Presents.
I want another House of Fun by, what's his name?
Evan Dorkin. Yeah, I like Evan Dorkin.
Me too. That was a good comic.
Anyway, I just think it's apparently Alex DeCampi. The story that Jerry Ordway is doing is the one with Alex DeCampi, so that's pretty cool. Ordway and DeCampi. But I like the first issue of Dark Horse Presents a lot. And then also, Art Balthazar and Frank are doing a new ongoing, it looks like, called Itty Bitty Comics. So it's looking like it's going to be a different Dark Horse property every month, getting the Itty Bitty treatment. Itty Bitty Hellboy was loads of fun. So I'll probably pick this up. I like the mask. That's a property that I'm surprised there hasn't been more work of lately.
Right? Because like smoking.
The mask is smoking.
Alrighty, that was Ace Ventura.
Yep.
Cameron Diaz. The guy
is Ace Ventura.
Who's the bad guy? And he's like in the mask, and he's in all those other movies. It's not William Fichtner, is it? But he kind of looks like him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know. The bad guy from The Mask. I know. I have a computer in my phone.
So now it's 390 megabytes. That's like half as big. That should work.
I think so.
Welcome to not knowing what we're talking about. This is a secret.
Oh, this is every week for me. Tell me your secret. I don't know what anybody talks about.
That was me describing every episode of Smallville, fucking Lana Lang going, tell me your secrets, Clark.
It's a guy named Peter Green. He's also in Pulp Fiction. Which, you know what my mom thinks about Pulp Fiction?
Hey, there you go, bringing it around.
It's that guy. That guy. Everybody knows that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. He's a bad guy for The Mask.
Yeah, he's in lots of stuff.
He kind of looks like William Fichtner, though.
There's a Plants vs. Zombies hardcover graphic novel coming out, written by Paul Tobin, with art by Ron Chan. That's kind of crazy. And it's not only that, it's like the second Plants vs. Zombies original graphic novel from Dark Horse. So that's pretty crazy. The art looks cool. I like that art in the cover. Like, it's art that I like, so...
I get it. I like that game.
I do, too.
It's
but
super
But again,
fun.
It's one of those games like Doodle Jumper. I'm like, how do you turn that into a... I guess Plants vs. Zombies is easier to imagine becoming a comic with a story than Doodle Jump.
Ooh, he was in Training Day.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
He was in Blue Streak with Martin Lawrence.
I actually liked Blue Streak.
I kind of like Martin Lawrence in a weird way.
Martin Lawrence. He's okay.
He's in The Usual Suspects.
That's a good movie.
He's Redfoot the Fence. There you go.
So I'm hoping
he's Zed from Pulp Fiction.
He's dead.
Zed's dead, baby.
Zed's dead.
I can't say that because there's like a dubstep thing called Zed's Dead. Like a DJ thing. And it kind of ruins...
I like bands that are named after lines from movies.
Yeah, but that's not a band. That's a computer. I hate DJs. Because everybody on my Facebook friends list is one, and they like invite me to their like DJ sets in Vancouver, and I'm like, I don't live there, and fuck you.
Yeah, how dare you invite me to something?
I'm mad about it. I'm super mad about it.
You're not going to take it anymore? You're mad as hell.
I'm butt hurt.
Yeah, I don't mind DJs. I mean, it's fine.
I just want to read this Plants vs. Zombies.
I have a CD by a band called Donnie Who Loves Bowling, which they're not a great band, but what a great name for a band, right?
True.
Donnie Who Loves Bowling.
Did you buy it for the name?
I did, actually. they're releasing the second volume of the Plague of Frogs omnibus in paperback. I'm hoping when they get to the end of volume 4 in paperback that they'll start doing the Hell on Earth omnibus in hardcover. I'd like to read. I have all the Plague of Frogs ones. I'd like to read the Hell on Earth stuff.
Love
the Mignola-verse, but at this point I'm getting it all in collections. Have you guys ever read any of Baltimore?
Nope.
I think I read the first two volumes when I was buying the singles. It's a really cool book. like all Mignola Verse stuff, is usually pretty cool. Here's a premiering book from Dark Horse.
Hellboy.
Not Hellboy. Grindhouse, Drive In, Bleed Out. So another 8-issue Grindhouse miniseries. I'm a little surprised. I'm really glad. I thought that maybe it didn't sell well enough to warrant a second one. I heard that the first half of the series sold really well, and the second half kind of dropped off. So, but the first storyline in this one has art by R.M. Guerra from Scalped. So that'd be pretty fucking cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like a Christmas revenge pulp movie, so that'll be fun. I just really enjoy that book. And I also really enjoy the backups where they always have people recommending exploitation movies that I may or may not have seen.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah, it is.
2-issue stories.
Exploiting people.
The short story is sort of non-existent in comics now, so a 2-issue arc is pretty good. Also, Vault of Horror, Volume 4, speaking of horror anthologies, is solicited from Dark Horse from the EC Archives. It's one of my favorite covers, the one of the severed arm hanging on the subway.
And that guy's like...
I've always liked that particular guy.
Is that what you would do if you saw a severed hand? Is this face?
Yeah. I like these archives cool because they also include all the original ads and letters and text pieces and stuff. So the Fantagraphics books are great because they're just collecting it by artist, but these are pretty fun if you're a nerd archivist nerd like me. So okay, I get it. You like this pose. Fucking idiot. I love you, buddy.
For our listeners, I was doing the pose.
Yeah, I think they got it.
Well, look at the guy. He's reading his paper, but he can't look at his paper
anymore. The only other thing that jumped out at me was Lone Wolf and Cub Omnibus Volume 7.
Drug and Drop.
I've read some stuff by Clamp, that manga studio. I haven't read the series that's a sequel to. Back in the high school when I got fairly into manga, and I remember taking a bus trip for band, and I ran out of comics, and the girl on the bus only had Clamp manga, so I read all of Chobits, which was about a computer that was shaped like a Japanese girl and had lots of panty shots, and it was just really odd. But I remember the story being really good and thinking, if there wasn't so much, as they call it, fan service, as I call it, creepy manga weirdness, I bet you I'd really like this book.
It is a weird term for it.
Yeah, fan service.
Like,
we must service.
There you go,
fans.
Panties.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Speaking of weird decisions and taking steps backward, let's take a look at DC Comics.
Gotham!
The first thing. That actually looks kind of cool. The first thing that's mentioned, this is the first issue of the new creative team on Wonder Woman. Meredith Finch and David Finch.
And Atticus Finch.
What an extraordinarily forward-thinking, interesting choice by DC. Having said that, like, the Azzarello run kind of way overstayed its welcome for me. It kind of petered out a lot in the second half. So it's too bad, and it also looks like it's gonna stop being quite so all by itself off in the universe, and having her Justice League teammates show up in it, and that sucks. I hate comedy.
That cover sucks.
Yeah.
David Finch is not my first choice to draw most things, and he's, speaking of weird anatomy, like the arch in her back there is very odd.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
also
Elena
she's got
surprised.
Like the weirdest expression on her face, and I can't explain it.
She's concerned because of all the blood.
She looks scared, and Wonder Woman shouldn't be scared.
Yeah, I don't like David Finch, so I'm definitely not going to.
The Lego variant is cool.
I don't get these Lego variants.
I don't get them either, but it's vastly preferable to the David Finch one. Yeah. So.
But a new starting book that I am going to pick up, at least for as long as this person does the book, so two or three issues, is Gotham by Midnight. Jim Corrigan is returning to the New 52 and is an investigator of all the weird paranormal shit that happens in Gotham. I've always liked sort of the horror Gotham books, like Gotham by Midnight or the ones that are, what's the other one that Steve Niles did? There's been a couple.
30 Days of Gotham.
Yeah. But anyway, it's Ray Fox and Ben Templesmith, and I love Ben Templesmith. I recently got caught up on 10 Grand, which he only did the first 3 or 4 issues of.
That's the JMS book, right?
Yeah, and it's a cool idea, which kind of goes off to where I wasn't expecting it to go, and it kind of loses some of its interest for me. It's still good, and the artist who replaced him is good, and if he wasn't following Ben Templesmith, he'd be great, but he's not Ben Templesmith. And it gets into territory that starts to feel a little bit like stuff that Neil Gaiman did better in Sandman, but still kind of cool. Ten Grand almost feels like he pitched it as a Constantine book, and it didn't get picked up, so we thought he would just do it himself. But it's still pretty cool. Did Did you guys read? We talked about Multiversity One. You haven't read
now
Multiversity
yet? Shockingly,
no, I didn't.
It's pretty cool, but the more I read it, and then comics, I think Comics Alliance has like a whole like list of annotations for it, and I read the first couple and realized I need to go back and reread Final Crisis.
Yeah, see, I won't ever probably do that
just because a bunch of it, like it's
no
all
sense.
it's just continuing his DC work, really. Like, I think before I read it, I should reread at least Final Crisis and Action Comics, but
as in like.
His
run?
Run. Yeah. No, the entire...
Like,
a 1,000-plus issues of Action Comics.
Now, I have a question, though. This is the Multiversity Pax Americana number one. Is it just basically Multiversity number two?
No, it's... Multiversity is... There's bookend issues, Multiversity 1 and Multiversity 2, and then there's four... I think there's five or six one-shots that come between it.
Okay.
And each one of them is called something different. So this is... Technically, I think this would be issue 3 of the storyline.
Okay. See, I wish that they would just, like, number them and that was it.
Yeah, but whatever. I like that nothing else is tying into it either. Like, it's just...
Yeah, true.
Grant Morrison can go off and do his thing.
True.
Jeremy Hahn is drawing Constantine now. And Juan Ferreira is doing the covers.
Oh, they're going to do
it. It's a great cover.
Book. That's a great idea.
I like that whole team, but I don't care about...
Oh, they're letting Tony S. Daniel write the Deathstroke book. That's a great idea.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
You rascal.
He's really... He's a fantastic artist. And I'm really...
Oh my god, look at the cover.
Good for them for letting him...
Does that not look like a New 52 cover in a nutshell?
Wait, what?
Sketchy punk rock robot chick with a metal jaw smashing a face bloodied Robin against the ground. And Kenneth Rockefeller drawing... Like, that drawing does not make sense. Look at Robin. Like, how is his arm like that? How is he that close to the ground with his arm bent behind him?
I don't really like Kenneth Rockford.
Where is his other leg? Yeah, I don't really like him either. He's almost, to me, he feels almost like a slightly better draftsman version of Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Like, his drawings are slightly better, but they're still just as wonky and shitty.
Also, why is DC just love, like, cyborgs?
Well, cyborgs are cool.
I don't think so.
You don't like cyborgs?
No. Also, it sucks that that cover's right next to a really cool Darwin Cook cover.
Yeah, a really cool cover. Unfortunately, as good as those covers are, the interior art is so different that it's a detraction.
Ugh.
Like, I'm all for a Darwin Cook cover, but when your interior art style is, like, polar opposite, it doesn't really work. Doesn't really work, I say. Mm-hmm. That's what I say, and I said it, and that's all there is to it.
Oh, Greg Pak's still writing Action Comics. Cool.
Yeah.
I like Greg Pak.
I don't know who this character is. I wonder if it's supposed to be Stephanie, but this Batman and Robin cover has a girl Robin. And if it's Stephanie, that's awesome because she was one of my favorite Robins for the very brief time she was Robin. I think I'm one of the only people who thinks that because the storyline was pretty shitty, but she was such a cool character. Anyway.
Tim Drake.
I also like Tim Drake.
She's supposed to be coming back, so.
Yeah, maybe that's
makes
her.
Makes sense.
And there's Batgirl 36. Batgirl looks so cool. I'm gonna get it. Babstar's awesome. Cameron Stewart's awesome. Brendan Fletcher's awesome.
I won't get it, but it's cool.
I'm amazed how many DC books I actually am getting now. Grayson number 4. Grayson's really good. It continues slightly from some Morrison stuff, so you have to kind of know. They were using Spiral as the main villains, and they were introduced, I think, originally in Morrison stuff. But they're very cool.
I have a question.
Okay.
Detective Comics?
It's a fill-in.
Oh, okay.
Which bums me out. I'm only buying it for Manipul and Bucciolato. But John Paul Leon's doing this. I hope it's only a two-parter. But
and it looks cool.
I don't want to buy it if it's not.
It's a nice cover.
It reminds me back when Paul Dini was doing Detective Comics, and it was a really good run, but they would have these like 3- and 4-issue fill-ins between his arcs, and it was so frustrating. Although there was one that I remember liking, it was a John Ostrander storyline. It was pretty cool, called Grotesque, I think. It's weird that I remember that. We talked about Gotham Academy last month, and I'm excited. I love Carl Kerschel, so...
Did we talk about Arkham Manor? Probably.
Jerry Duggan's
writing a DC book,
I don't know,
though.
Like, what to make of it, so... I'm sure it's going to be good.
I think it... It feels like it'll just be like a fun Batman Rogues Gallery book.
Yeah.
And it's Jerry Duggan. Jerry Duggan's a really good writer.
Yeah. So, and it appears that the Green Lantern books are crossing over with each other yet again. It feels like if you want to read Green Lantern comics, you have to buy at least 5 ongoing comics a month. Because they're constantly weaving it in and out of each other.
Does what's-his-name still have a book? Larfleeze?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Because that was a really good idea.
So here's something.
Nobody you saw the fault in that plan.
So I guess in the 60s, during the TV series, Jiro Kuwata created a Batmanga. A Batman manga was published in a weekly Shonen Jump comic for 53 chapters, and they're releasing it in 3 volumes starting in December, so I just think that'll be cool.
Yep.
And also, a previews exclusive, Batman the Complete television series, Blu-ray and book set. Yeah, you can only get this in previews. Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure they won't be selling this in fucking Target. Maybe you'll be able to get the booklet.
It says...
I do love this show, though. I would probably get this.
It'll be on Netflix.
That's true. Because I do love this show. I have all the episodes on tape, but...
I almost said Netflix.
Netflix? The Netflix capacitor?
Nice!
Thank you.
That was a Star Wars joke.
That's weird. Yeah, that's weird. Oh, it's so embarrassing. This is kind of cool. Batman 66, the lost episode. So I guess Harlan Ellison wrote an episode that was never produced. For the TV series, so Len Wein has adapted his story into this script, and Jose Luis Garcia Lopez and Joe Prado are drawing it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's going to have Two-Face in it.
I was going to say, it says cover by Alex Ross, and that's definitely not Alex Ross.
No,
and then
that's
it says
very covered by Alex Ross.
Also, as an aside, Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet has been really good, because it's coming out on time, because it's not Kevin Smith writing it.
Hey, here's another thing we should point out. This is pretty cool. Batman 66, number 17, written by Jeff Parker, art by Scott Kowalczyk.
Nice.
You've worked with him.
I have.
And I've met him. He's a super nice guy. But he's too big time for us.
But in fairness, if I had a book with an all-red cover,
yeah,
I would be too.
I had heard about this a while ago, and this sounds super cool. So I'll probably buy those ones.
I'm just finding out about it now.
He's a cool guy.
And it's super cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
He fits perfectly with that style.
Yeah, this is... He said this was like his dream book, so...
Yeah.
I hope that they keep him on it for a while, because it's a King Tut story, too, so...
You know what I'm going to do?
A letter-writing campaign?
Buy it.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put it on my, the old poll list.
Along with your Wang. Oh!
I don't get why that's funny.
Because you pull your wing.
Oh!
19 again, man.
Have you guys ever read Martial Law?
No.
The Kevin O'Neill book? I haven't either, but I like Kevin O'Neill, and DC is putting out a 480-page paperback omnibus for $30 with like a fuck ton of it. I don't know if it's all of the Martial Law stuff or most of it or what, but it's always been something on my list of things I'd like to check out from that era that I never saw. So, that's cool.
Written by Howard Chayen on the Twilight Trade Press. It says written by Howard Chayen.
Does it say Chayen?
Yeah.
It does.
Because I looked at it and I was like, oh, Howard Chayen. Oh, no.
I've never actually heard of this book, but it's Howard Chayen and Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. And it's called Twilight. It was a 3-issue miniseries from 1990. I was 3 years old, that's why.
Yeah, have you not heard about it?
Yeah, haven't you? There's a new Vertigo series starting called The Kitchen, written by Ollie Masters and art by Ming Doyle. Ming Doyle's fucking awesome.
And a Blackie Clunen cover.
Blackie
Clunen. I can't speak today.
You are really bad. But it's also only an 8-inch miniseries, so I'll probably just get the trade. Because reading Vertigo comics and singles is one of the single most infuriating tasks one can engage in, assuming you like house ads on every second page.
True.
And I don't. I'm fine with house ads. Put them at the end.
The newest Fables trade came out yesterday.
Yeah, number 20.
Bought it.
Did you?
I haven't read it because I still haven't even read 19.
I haven't read. What issue? What volume is Dark Age?
Like 11.
That's the one I'm on. And then I have up to like Rose Red, I think.
It's good.
Yeah. I know it's good. I'll get through it.
I'm like reading through again. I'm on the Dark Ages, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I gotta get to it eventually, man, because I'm sure I love it.
I had the first seven Morning Glories trades, and I had only read the first one when I bought the other six, and I finally read two more of them.
Far out.
It's really good, and I totally see why Rob keeps saying, yeah, man, it's just lost in a school, because it's lost.
In a school?
In a school. Like, you'd think somebody would give them a map.
So, apparently... We aren't among them, but there must be a pretty fucking big audience for Transformers comics, because IDW puts out like 30 of them every month.
Yep.
Although I did buy one today, actually. I bought issue 2 of Tom Scholey's.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick that up.
G.I. Joe Transformers 2. And the cover that I got is the subscription cover. It's an Ed Piskor cover, and it's sweet.
Oh, cool.
And the first one was a James Stokoe cover.
Oh, James Stokoe's
getting
cool.
All the
Which one was Rob Liefeld? I thought that was the. Maybe that was just like a.
I don't know. Must be something else.
100 issue variant or something like that.
Yeah, the subscription cover is... The first one was so cool. This one's Ed Piskor. The main Scholey covers are also pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But I guess Ed Piskor and Tom Scholey, those guys all like work together and are buds, so...
Yeah, they're all from... was it Pennsylvania?
I think so, yeah.
Surprising number of people there.
Yeah, I think I was listening to a podcast where somebody from that group was talking about it, but... I don't remember. Anyway.
I don't get Transformers.
I don't either, but I like G.I. Joe and I like Tom Scholey. And I like how Tom Scholey's, but it's not Transformers versus G.I. Joe. It's just like army guys versus robot guys, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to know anything.
I had no idea what was happening because the script's kind of...
almost unnecessary.
Yeah, like...
It's just an excuse to watch this insanely cool book.
It's like all this crazy stuff is happening, and then there'll be like a random guy and be like, oh, you're back. And then like the next page they're talking about something completely different. And then it looked nice.
Did we talk about this last week, this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters crossover?
No.
My only question is, how has that not happened already? Like, that just seemed like something that would have happened by now.
Yeah, because the Ninja Turtles are ghosts.
Well, exactly. So
that's called killing momentum.
So we have this. There's an Edward Scissorhands comic miniseries. I don't really like Edward Scissorhands, but I really like Kate Leth, so I'm tempted to get it. And the cover of issue 2 is by Kevin Wada, and he's one of the best cover artists around. And that's a really good cover. He's been doing all the She-Hulk covers.
You know what sucks, Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but.
I mean, it's better than Nightmare Before Christmas, because most things are, but...
Here's something for you, Ryan. Shadow Show number 1. Joe Hill. Is doing it. So it's a... working
and C.B. Wilson.
It's writers paying tribute to the work of Ray Bradbury, and I believe that the story in this one is by the Silver Waters of Lake Champlain, which is a Joe Hill short story, and Jason Cheramella, I guess, is adapting it, but C.B. Wilson III is drawing it, so that's fucking sweet.
I'm really into that.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good story, too, that it's being adapted from. So, it gets my seal of approval.
Why don't I buy Ragnarok? It looks awesome.
I read the first issue was pretty sweet. I quite enjoyed it. I
love Walt Simonson, so...
Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is what we've all been waiting for. This episode is dedicated to the king, for it is his 97th birthday. From IDW, there's a Jack Kirby Mr. Miracle Artist Edition. Yeah.
Our seal of approval.
Are you going to get this one?
I think so. I think I need to. I love Mr. Miracle. Big Barter and Mr. Miracle are two of my favorite like designs.
Yeah.
And they look so cool. And it's Kirby. And I'm still kicking myself for not getting the New Gods one. So.
How much do those cost?
$150.
Yeah, wow.
A lot, but worth it, man. Like, I had to flip through Justin's New Gods one, and it's just, like, fucking unreal. And he was the king. And so this concludes 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 of Mr. Miracle. Have you ever read any of the Mr. Miracle stuff? Have you ever read any Kirby stuff, Ryan?
I don't really think so.
Why are you alive?
Like, I've read, like, some early Fantastic Four stuff, which
That's
is, like,
stuff.
You know.
Neil Gaiman today, because it was Kirby, they posted this link to like an interview with Stan Lee back in the 60s describing the process of working with Kirby that should really eliminate forever the debate of who did the creative work between that partnership, Kirby or Lee. Because Lee basically says, yeah, when I'm working with Kirby, though, half the time I don't even give him a plot. He gives it to me, and then I just put the dialogue in. I'm like, so you didn't do anything. you don't. Sometimes you'd give him like two sentences. Sometimes you would say, in this issue, they should fight Dr. Doom. And then he would draw a comic, give it to Stan, and Stan would write dialogue balloons. So everyone needs to shut up about Stan Lee creating the Fantastic Four. Jack Kirby did that. Jack Kirby was the greatest. There's like a ton of videos of like, I forget this guy's name now, I have to look it up, but he does a bunch of like lectures on comics history in the Silver Age, and he did a bunch of like the Kirby Museum and various things like that, and he did a couple on Jack, and they're really good.
Oh yeah, it's like a big, it's like a, like an hour long, like,
this one's like 90 minutes,
slideshow presentation.
Yeah, and somebody's like holding a camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As long as you just listen to it, it's great.
Yeah.
But then I went on his YouTube channel, he has like 80 videos, and they're all about different comics topics. And I'm like, this is pretty fucking cool. I may have to watch some more of these. Maybe.
One of the Calgary shows should bring a guy like that in and talk to people.
Wouldn't that be cool if we had a show that did things like that? People talking about comics, not just like, woo, Doctor Who is here! Hello! And I like Doctor Who. I like the new Doctor Who. I watched it this week. It's really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was weird that he didn't say fuck at all, but...
like, do they? Do they swear in that show?
Sometimes I can't tell when you're being
serious. I don't... my new knowledge of Doctor Who is so small.
The new Doctor is played by the guy who played Malcolm Tucker on The Thick of It, whose whole job is to be amazing and swear. It's one of the funniest shows ever, and he's one of the best characters ever. He does this amazing rant in one episode about like trying to remember what Star Wars is called. Mm-hmm. And oh my god, it's funny. Like, the guy's got a tinfoil pal and a pedal bin. And he fucking fucked his sister. Lego. They're all made of fucking Lego. Like, Star Wars. Yes, exactly. And he's having the planet of the teddy bears and stuff. The eco walks. Yeah.
For the record, all I could think of was, here's $5. Go see a Star Wars.
Go see a Star Wars. Go see a Star Wars. On young.
Hey, there's your...
Weird Love number 4. Seriously. I mean, I love old weird comics. This comic
wow,
is,
the heartbreaking head exploding lead-off tale, too fat to frug.
Trailer trash girl. If you're in a jam, we'll slip away tonight and be married. Oh, I can't wait. Craig Yeo just seems like a cool dude to hang out with. I would love to just hang out and have a meal with Craig Yeo and be like, you're a cool dude. You find some weird shit though, brother. Okay, I might be the only person in this room who cares, but they're releasing the complete Junior and Sonny comics by Al Feldstein. I really like Al Feldstein, and I have a soft spot for old cheesecakey comics. I find modern cheesecake stuff really, like, unsettling. Like, classic cheesecake seems so unreal and goofy that it seems like it's more fun. Modern cheesecake stuff just seems, like, weird and Axe body spray. Like, classic cheesecake is this, Junior and Sonny, where they were called, like, headlight comics because the girls had large breasts. But like they're all like cool. Cheeky and subtle. Modern cheesecake comics are fucking Grimm's fairy tales, where it's just like, "Whoa, bro, we're gonna rape Alice in Wonderland!" Woo!
Is that what that's actually like?
I don't know. Books? I haven't read it, but it's fucking. I have a lot of them though. When they first started coming out, I was working at a comic book store, and I was pretty indiscriminate, and I bought like the first like 24 issues or something, and I started to read them, and I'm like, these are fucking terrible. And they'd spend all their money on cover artists, so the interior art is garbage. But whatever.
But what about Lil Abner, Volume 7?
Dude, are you knocking Lil Abner?
No. Because it was the coming of the Schmooze.
Dude. The Schmooze is such a... There was a comic with a thing called a Schmooze. Like, fucking Lil Abner was great. I love that we live in an era where comic book companies are reprinting all this old weird stuff for people like me. I'd be able to afford it too if I wasn't buying so many stupid DC comics. I should just fucking drop them.
This is going to be controversial, like that Time magazine cover.
I just like it because figured we might as well double down on the offensiveness.
I mean, yeah.
People were mad about the breastfeeding cover, breastfeeding comic earlier. Well, fuck it. Now we're putting this whole side boob tit feeding on the front cover of our hardcover, motherfuckers. Anyway.
Is that what it was, the hardcover?
That's for the deluxe hardcover, yeah. For the first 10 issues, I think. So.
I knew they were doing one of those.
You knew, did you?
Oh, I didn't know, but I assumed.
I this may be an apocryphal
criminal
story.
Criminal and all that sort of
stuff. But somebody I know was telling me that they were congratulating Fiona Staples on that book, and her saying, yeah, I don't know, this might not be, maybe they made the story up, but it does sound like something she would say because it's very self-deprecating and charming. But she says, like, I feel kind of weird about having that book because I feel like my art, like, you want those big oversized books so that you can see all this extra detail and stuff, but she says, my work doesn't really have a lot of that, so it feels almost like a waste to have it blown up that big because there's nothing to be added by it. She's wrong. It'll look awesome, but I just thought that was a fairly charming story. Image Comics!
You know what I'm going to buy? This book.
Good. Talk about it.
And I don't even really...
fucking dry mouth.
I don't even really know if I care for the artwork, but...
Oh, I do.
Odyssey.
Christian Ward.
O-D-Y-C.
He drew Infinite Vacation.
By Matt Fraction.
Yeah. The gender-flipped retelling of the Odyssey in space.
It's Matt Fraction and the Odyssey.
In space.
Gender-flipped. This is why I don't speak... I don't know. It's Matt Fraction. I'll buy it. So,
Fraction's pretty great.
Fraction's very.
Hey,
great.
We touch feet so much.
Even when we're not recording, you're just really in the car.
In the car.
Yeah.
Even like. Even like, I'll be at home and I'll just text you a picture of my foot.
And I'll be like, oh. Rubbing against my face. You can't see me. That's
what you, you should be rubbing it on your foot. And then be like, footsies.
Oh.
Hey, what's your favorite emoji? Mine's the one where the girl is like...
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Probably. I don't know.
It's so cool. Because she's like... Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know that I have a favorite emoji.
You should.
How do you use that in a sentence? The only emoji I ever use is colon uppercase D. When he's going... That's all I ever use.
This one, when I use it in a conversation, it's always like it's always when I talk to one of my one of my friends who are girls.
Your
not
gal
girlfriends
pals?
My gal pals. There we go. I was trying to say it without sounding like I have a girlfriend, because Lord knows I doesn't. Anyways, but when I talk to them, but then I'll talk like we're just one of the girls, and then I'll say like, yeah, girl, if you got it, flaunt it.
This is a really good story. I'm glad you shared
it. I just like emojis.
I don't...
Well, that emoji.
That's cool.
Somebody sent me, texted me a, wall of text of that emoji only. And I said, yep.
And then you shared it with us on this podcast.
And then I blew it up in, just a single emoji and Instagrammed it. And I was yeah.
How about this Tooth and Claw?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
New Kurt Busiek series with Ben Dewey. Double-sized, 44 pages of story with no ads for $2.99. All the creatures are like animal monsters. I like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it looks kind of cool. And the lettering looks really good in the preview pages. Anyway. I'm going to check it out. I think it looks kind of fun. I try most Image number ones. So.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I do too, unless they have to do with magic. Is that weird? Weird, high fantasy magic. And also, usually, I don't check out Rick Remender books.
I don't really like high fantasy that much, but...
Yeah.
The next page, though, this book looks sweet.
Yeah.
Michael Yvonne Oeming and Taki Soma. That splash page of that monster, that's awesome. Have I mentioned how much I like monsters on this podcast? I really like them.
How do you feel about monsters?
So, it's about guys who... People... Jess was on her way to college with an athletic scholarship... Her first sexual experience enabled her to see interdimensional monsters who live secretly among us and feed on synergy, which is energies emitted by sin. That's cool. And her father wants her to help hunt these monsters. That sounds wicked. Any comic that involves hunting monsters, I'm on board with. Or monsters hunting people. If there's a monster, I'll check it out.
Or first time having sex.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like they're like, well, that worked out really well for those guys. Let's throw that in.
I feel like this
two parts
is
Buffy, two parts sex criminals.
This is just don't have sex. This is what happens.
That's what Buffy felt like. okay, this book's cool. Ivan Brandon and Nick Klein doing an ongoing called Drifter. Did you guys read Dancer?
No.
That was their spy book that I really liked. And they also did that Viking book, I think. That was called Viking.
It says.
Yeah.
From the creators of Viking.
I'm pretty sure they also... Was it not? Maybe it wasn't Ivan Brandon who did... Dancer with Nick Klein.
I like
Nick
Klein.
That was Nathan Emmonson.
Right. That was a really good book, though. Anyway, Nick Klein did the art, and this looks awesome. So the art looks good anyway, but also one of the lines says it joins the dark revenge themes of Unforgiven with the mind-bending sci-fi of Dune. Fuck. Even if I wasn't already on board, this book sounds like it should have been in like heavy metal in the 80s, but I'm going to check it out because it sounds sweet.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Okay, now, bringing us full circle, a new series, possibly my new number one most anticipated series, is The
From
Humans.
Cam Neely.
Art by Cam Neely. Tom Neely, fuckhead.
Kick
and
his ass,
Marshall Keller. It's called The Humans. It's... I haven't even read the description of what the book's about. I don't care. It's a bunch of apes riding motorcycles, and there's a big splash page that says Humans Bakersfield and a middle finger with a skull ring.
Hey, have you ever been to Bakersfield, California?
No.
Don't.
Okay.
It's the worst city I've ever been in my life.
Really?
Easily. Because it's in, like, the shitty part of California where it's desert, and then it's just shitty and shitty, and everything is shitty. And then there's, like, plant farms around.
This just sounds so good. A high-octane, no-holds-barred, ape biker gang chopper ride into 70s exploitation bliss.
Yeah, I think I'm into this. Even despite the fact that
if I didn't already have a boner from Ryan touching my foot, I would have one now. Because this looks like the best thing ever. They ride out. They ride in formation out of respect for a fallen brother. A procession of chrome and raw power. They wear no smiles, only denim, leather, and shades. That's poetry. That is poetry.
It's like Sons of Anarchy, but with interesting characters. Hey!
Yeah, I feel like Sons of Anarchy would not appeal to me at all, but this would. Holy shit. Look, like, okay, look at this
so
panel.
Like, so, like, if they were apes, it would appeal to you? That's all it
maybe.
Needs?
Maybe. Yeah. Well, look at this panel at the bottom with, like, an ape.
Oh, yeah, no, it's awesome.
Snorting lines of coke off of an ape girl's back. That looks so fucking kick-ass.
And then they're, like, hanging out with hippies and dancing.
Yeah, that panel looks like that movie I watched last night, Beach Party, where they all start dancing for no reason. You know who was in that movie? Dick Dale. And his Deltones. They played a song. And also, you know who else was in that movie? They kept teasing that there's a character that this guy hired to hang out and give them the word. And he just sits in the corner with his hat covering his face. His name is Big Daddy. And like four or five times throughout the movie they show him and they say, yeah, Big Daddy hasn't woken up to give us the word yet. And at the very end of the movie, he lifts his head up and it's Vincent Price. And he says, the word is the pit. Get me my pendulum. I feel like swinging, kiddies. And I'm just like, yes. Fuck yes, Vincent Price. And that's his whole part. And then in the credits, it says Vincent Price will return in. And it says the name of the next AIP Vincent Price horror movie. I was like, did they seriously put him in this movie just to advertise their next movie? Because that's amazing. Why don't they do things like that anymore, guys? Why don't they make those kind of movies anymore? I'd go to them.
That's kind of painful.
A little bit.
Hey, I have a question.
Okay.
Is your child here?
He's in bed.
Oh, because you're like kind of yelling.
Well, he's asleep.
Ah, okay.
Becky will sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking as an odd parent, you're lucky.
Apparently, I'm the only one who's interested in the Annette Funicello Frankie Avalon movie,
no, I very
which does not bode well for this comic that I'm writing. That is a very obvious parody homage of those movies. So me and the artist will be the only two people in the world who give a fuck. But that's the way I like to do things. Intersect, another new series from Image by Ray Fox this time, and a variant cover by Jeff Lemire. Ray Fox is pretty cool, and it's cool that he's getting to do this kind of work. I haven't read any of his DC stuff. I guess I'll read that Gotham by Midnight, but most of the stuff I'm just like, it seems like work for hire, it feels like work for hire, and, you know, good for him, gotta eat, but I don't have to read it.
Yeah, but this he looks gets pretty paid good. Either way.
Yeah, exactly. I got his new graphic novel, the other one? Whatever the hell it's called. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
I bought it a couple weeks ago. I haven't got to it yet, but it's in a pile with all the other books. So I've learned, I think, over the years to not buy these 5-week event weekly Top Cow books, because I've done it the last couple of years and they've always sounded cool and then I read them and they're really bad. Like last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, it was one called Bushido and it was like,
I think we talked about this last
Vampire Samurais. And there was another Vampire Samurai book that I read from Image once called Drain. But that one was actually not bad. But so yeah, I don't think I'm going to get American Legends. But I don't know. Depicting the extraordinary exploits of Davy Crockett, Mike Fink, and Sally Ann Thunder on a quest to save the Lewis and Clark expedition and thwart a conspiracy hatched by Napoleon to destroy the promising future of a young American nation.
Hey, it also has the Hatfields and McCoys, Johnny Appleseed, Paul Bunyan, and Sacagawea.
I don't think this book is for me. but I don't think a lot of the Top Cow.
It kind of sounds like a shitty version of Manifest Destiny.
I always forget that Top Cow still exists.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they don't really, they're just like an imprint of Image now, but still. Oh, actually, we should mention this. This is actually pretty unique. Savage Dragon is hitting issue number 200 in November. So, fucking good on Eric Larson. One of these days, I'm going to read Savage Dragon.
Read it.
Well, because they were supposed to put out those library editions years ago, and they never came out. And I was waiting for those, but I'm sure I'd like it. Like, I like Eric Larson. And the art in this issue has Eric Larson, Herb Trimpe. I didn't actually know Herb Trimpe was still alive, so that makes me feel kind of bad. Chris Burnham, Nikos Koutsis, Frank Fosco, and Travis Singao. Cover B says Jack Kirby and Eric Larson. I'm going to assume that means he's, like, adapting a Jack Kirby cover. Lena was like, Larson after Kirby. Larson is a huge Kirby fan, as we know, mm-hmm. from Facebook.
You can tell by all his hands, too.
Yeah. All his, just about everything. But, yeah, I like his stuff, so that's pretty cool. I mean, that's awesome that an independently... That is basically the only book from the Image Revolution that's still going.
Spawn.
But Spawn's still going, but Todd McFarlane hasn't done every issue. Yeah. Eric Larson has done every single issue of Savage Dragon.
And he writes and draws all of them, right?
Yeah, like, this is a guy who was a huge superstar artist, went to Image, probably made lots of money, enough that he probably didn't have to work anymore, maybe, I don't even know. Most of those guys made a lot of money. But this guy was clearly the one who cared the most and loved the medium the most, because he's still working in it, right? And he's still doing this thing that he created and loved, so I think that's fucking cool. Like, Jim Lee can't even do two issues of Wildcats, let alone 200. You know? Wiltz Portazio, I haven't seen a book from since issue 2 of that Non-Humans book. Did the rest of that series ever come out? I don't even know.
I don't think we ever found out. Is that the one where the toys come alive, but it's not Toy Story?
Yeah, that other one where toys come alive. You know?
Yeah.
Toy Story, but with a twist.
And Tom McFarlane, like, doesn't even draw anymore, does he?
Very rarely, it seems.
Like, he might do,
but he doesn't need to
cover.
Because he lives in a house made of action figures, right?
He was doing all those, those Spawn covers that look...
Homages
to everything else.
Those were kind of cool.
I like the Dark Knight Returns one that he did.
Never read an issue of Spawn.
Me neither.
That's one of those...
I've only read the first issue.
Like, I've never read anything. There's a few, like, landmark things in comics that... I feel like, as a fan of the medium, I should at least... Like, I'm aware of Spawn, but I've never read an issue.
I saw the movie a long time ago.
I saw that, too. I would read the Grant Morrison issue, maybe.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, I've read more of Rob Liefeld projects than I have read Spawn. Okay, Ryan, here's your favorite book of all time. The Madman In Your Face 3D Special. Supersized special effects, 80-page spectacular. Exclusive 3D photo gallery of Paulo Rivera, Marcos Martin, Jai Lee, Eduardo Risso, Emo Rios, Nick Dragata, Andrew Robinson, Sean Murphy, Maris Wicks, Aaron Conley, who I just got into. What did I read? Doesn't he draw Five Ghosts? I can't remember. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Anyway, I like Aaron Conley, whatever he is. Jenny Frison, Declan Shalvey, Becky Cloonan, Joe Quinones, Ming Doyle, Nick Bradshaw, and more. Holy hell!
Yeah, I'll buy that.
It also includes the Swipes from Dimension X story, converted to 3D, which is one of the coolest Madman stories ever, where he drew every panel in the style of a different artist. It's one of the coolest comics you'll ever look at.
I need to get into this then.
Oh my god, dude,
here's the thing about
Michael
Allred, is he's the best.
And this is Michael Allred's thing, dude. You would love this book. I can't wait to see this. So it looks like it's not...
Now that I see the cover, I do
recognize it. It has an all-new story, and then a bunch of reprints of stories converted to 3D, so that's awesome. That is so awesome.
I'm into it.
That is so cool.
I'm into it.
Penny Dora and the Wishing Box. That looks like a fantasy. It looks like a fun little all ages or tween girl comic from Image, which is a market that Image hasn't really done much with. So that's kind of cool to see them trying. I like the cover. Maybe if I hear good things about it, I might pick up a trade. Hope Larson did a variant cover. That's cool. I like Hope Larson. This looks really cool, though. Prophet Earth 4, number 1. I think this is like the big finale of Brandon Graham's Prophet run. So, this looks really cool. Did you ever read the original Prophet, the Liefeld stuff?
No.
Like... I love the idea of the reboot, though, with Brandon Graham coming on and basically doing, like, reimagining Rob Liefeld's Prophet as if it had come out in Mattel Herlant in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking sweet. I haven't read them, I've got the trades, but just flipping through it, I'm like, oh, this book looks so good.
I think I read the
first trade.
There's a monster really on the front cover, that. So thumbs
fair
up.
Enough.
But you think I'd be a bigger Stan Lee fan, because like all he ever did was monster comics.
Put a monster on the cover.
His old like Timely Atlas monster stuff is the best. Okay, how cool is this? Just the Tips hardcover. A sex guide from Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky. Collecting a bunch of ticks, trips, moves, advice, suggestions, stories, you know, other things and letters and whatnot from the letters column from sex criminals. A bunch with a bunch of new material and... It's just such an amazing idea.
It's like the last sentence. Finally, a book to teach you how to not be a sex dummy no more. It's this book.
Those guys, they're so brilliant.
I'll so buy this too. Like, you know what I like just found out, and it's weird because I knew this before the book even came out, but I totally forgot that Chip Zdarsky's like an artist for like, is it the National Post or
yeah.
something?
He works for the National Post. That's his day job. Yeah,
that's the weirdest thing.
And like, he seems like he's a really funny guy because. Basically, like there was that article that
yeah.
was published in the National Post, like basically mocking
like,
Chip Zdarsky
yeah.
for constantly reminding everyone he works with that he's an Eisner Award-winning artist. And
yeah, he was on
one
like,
National New York Times best-selling author,
and he was in like Time magazine,
and was on the cover of Time. That's just so funny. Here's that Saga cover we were talking about. It's actually the first 18 issues of Saga.
Wow!
So that's pretty cool. For $50, it gets you an oversized hardcover, 504 pages. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I already have this in singles and in trades. I don't think I'm going to buy it a third time, but
I
bet you a
trades.
Lot of people will.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is... I rarely tell Nicole about something I read about in previews because she would not fucking care. I saw this and I was like, I had to call over my Nicole, we have to get this book because you will love it. It's called Punk Rock Paper Scissors. It's a book showcasing over 600 punk and hardcore flyers from the 1980s, focusing on the eastern United States. That fucking sounds so awesome.
It's just going to be a bunch of black fans.
Yeah, well, lay out. You.
Is it weird that I'm more interested in Kinski because there's a puppy on the front?
It's a really good book, dude.
Is it?
Gabriel Hartman, yeah.
Is it about a puppy?
It was a monkey brain book.
Oh. Is it about a puppy?
Yep.
Can
yes,
I?
It's really good.
I like puppies.
But Punk Rock Paper Scissors just sounds really cool. I love those kind of collections. I have a book upstairs. I think it was called like Gig Art or something. But it's this big hardcover of a bunch of music poster art from the last decade or so. And it's so sweet. I love those things.
That I think that'd be cool.
It's a strange image book.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I don't know who Lee Loughridge is. His name doesn't...
I've heard that name.
Yeah, me too. So that probably is why it's image. He probably went to whomever his editor of images was and was like, hey... I'll put this book out.
I think it'd be neat, but also at the same time, I hate like most 80s punk and hardcore. So.
Well, even if you don't like the music, though, like how cool is that piece of history? Like,
yeah.
Even like I'm not a huge, although I will say that for punk rock, I prefer 80s hardcore to most punk rock. But that's like a really major part of music history, and that kind of history is really cool to me.
Yeah,
like,
I
I'm not
history.
Into a lot of the bands in that Gig Art book. Like, I could give a flying fuck about a Pearl Jam poster, but.
I don't like history
in general.
Or learning.
So you're doomed to repeat yourself?
Or reading.
So you're doomed to repeat yourself?
I don't like...
So you're doomed to repeat yourself?
I don't like girls.
So you're doomed to repeat yourself?
They're always laughing at me.
Those who do not listen to this podcast are doomed to repeat it.
I hope not.
Like history. Rat Queens Volume 2 comes out. The Far-Reaching Tentacles of Nirgoth. That'll be good because this will be stuff I haven't read before.
Ooh,
I've read
that.
The first the issues that make up the first. Oh, and there's a Lazarus hardcover as well of the first 9 issues.
I probably won't buy it, but cool.
I just read the first trade of Lazarus last week, and I have the second one to start. That first trade is really good. That's a really cool universe he's created. Shudder Volume 1, $10. I really like this book actually. At first, I was a little like I wasn't sure where it was going, but the fact that it remained interesting to me made me want to keep reading it. But now I'm on board, so it's really good. And The Wicked and the Divine trade comes out, and both of those are only $10.
So everybody should buy them.
$10.
I won't, but everybody should.
$10. And we talked about this the last 2 episodes of previews, but we're talking about it again. Copperhead number 3. Buy Copperhead. I'm tired of only getting to read 10 issues of Jay Ferber books before they get canceled. I love Jay Ferber. And
oh,
this book looks
I'm totally
cool.
going to buy that book.
You are?
Yeah.
Good, it looks great. And I just read he's coming there, you're doing another Near Definite series. I'm so excited. You remember how much I loved that book? And how sad I was when they had to stop it?
I think so.
Oh, it was so good. Also, look how good the cover to the Fade Out number 4 is.
Mm-hmm. That book was really, really good, wasn't it?
Yes,
did you read
it?
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
I would dare to say it was pretty great.
Okay.
It was pretty fantastic.
That's
it
pretty
was my
bold.
Favorite, wasn't
That's
it?
Bold. Yeah. And it was my probably would have been favorite had I read it by the time we did the pod. Manifest Destiny continues to be awesome. Look at that cover. Sweet.
Where?
It's on the next page.
Oh. The Ghosted cover is awesome too, for the record.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't read the second trade of that yet either, but
it's clearly not on the next page. Oh,
it's so neat to see the variety of stuff coming out from the right now.
What is Sacagawea up to?
Why don't we read that American Legends book and find out?
Yeah.
Look at the cover to spread number 5. There's like a monster in her tummy. I really like monsters, you guys. See
ew! It?
I like that book. I like this book better than anything else I've read from Justin Jordan so far. I mean, it's basically Lone Wolf and Cub in a post-apocalyptic wasteland with monsters. Lone Wolf and Cub meets The Thing. And I like both of those things a lot. So, that helps.
Which thing?
Lone Wolf and... Oh, shit. Alright, so Marvel. This won't take very long. Is there anything in Marvel you guys care about right now? That we should mention, other than Spider-Verse? Because I'm probably going to get some Spider-Verse books.
Axis, whatever.
Yeah, that Spider-Gwen stuff. Is that...
Yeah.
Is that her own stuff, or is that...
She's part of another book. I can't resist Spider-Man stuff, and it's a crossover where all the Spider-Man, multiverse of Spider-Mans team up to have stuff go down.
For the record, Superior Iron Man number 1 has a really, really good Alex Ross variant.
It does.
But
Superior Iron Man to me just reeks of like editors saying, "Whoa, Superior Spider-Man did so well. We should do another character for one of our relaunches that didn't do as well."
Yep.
Like, I feel like nobody really cared about the relaunched Iron Man.
And I'm not buying it. But that cover is one of my favorite Ross covers in a while, anyways.
So Spider-Man number 9 is where Spider-Verse starts. Oliver Coipel is doing the art, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. All new Captain America.
Yeah.
With the Colbert variant, which is amazing.
There's also a book called Spider-Verse.
I want that so bad.
1 of 2, which has, like, it's a big Spider-Man anthology with stories about all the different Spider-Mans, including a Scotty Young book story, and Jake Parker telling a Mangaverse Spider. Do you remember the Marvel Mangaverse? It was super short-lived, but it was really cool. Did you ever see that stuff?
I don't think so.
I think they only did, like, a digest's worth of material. And it was probably in the early 2000s.
Ooh, Katie Cook.
Robbie Thompson is doing a steampunk Spider-Woman story, and Katie Cook is doing a new Spider character.
If they wouldn't have put steampunk in there, I would have been like, cool, but that kind of... Also, for the record, this is the Amazing Spider-Man 9 art, and I just remembered that Silk is like the best character.
Silk is such a good
character.
Silk
is the coolest character.
I love Dan Slott Spider-Man, but Silk is
so
good.
I'm
so
excited for this Spider-Woman variant.
God.
Why is there a heart on, like, where...
It would be really cool if Spider-Woman was getting her own comic that wasn't drawn by fucking Greg Land. It's too bad, because Dennis Hopeless is a pretty good writer, so...
Mm-hmm.
But also there's Spider-Verse team-up, which
there's
is
like
Christos Gage and Roger Stern, and it's 2 Spidey stories per issue, but it's got Old Man Spider-Man from Spider-Man 500 and the Spectacular Spider-Ham teaming up to recruit Ben Reilly in the first story. So already, Spider-Man Noir, Old Man Spidey, and Spectacular Peter Porker and the Spectacular Spider-Ham. And the second story is Spider-Man Noir and the Six-Armed Spider-Man, the doppelganger Spider-Man from Spider-Man 100. Or a multiverse universe version of him. And there's also one called Scarlet Spiders, which is a team-up book of Kane, Ben Reilly, and Ultimate Jessica Drew teaming up to have some kind of Scarlet Spider team-up book. So that's fucking awesome.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man's over.
Yeah, well,
issue 17.
Dude, it went 17 issues. Did anybody, including Nick Spencer and Steve Lieber, expect to get 17 issues on that book?
Nope, but it's a fantastic...
It's a great book. And Steve Lieber did the whole thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which
No.
He didn't do most of it, though.
There's, like, 2 or 3 fill-in artists.
He did a lot of it, though.
Which, like, those issues are total one-shot issues,
yeah.
And they're irrelevant. And they're not... Well, they're okay.
I hope they do an oversized hardcover of just those 17 issues.
It was weird, because the gap between Lieber books would be, like, 4 months, and then, like, in the middle of that, they'd put one by, like, a fill-in artist. So I don't know if, like, maybe he had something going on or what, but...
It's the insistence
really
of the market of having a book out every single month,
yeah.
Whether they're teaming ready or not.
Didn't bother me, but... Also, for the record, do people care that Wolverine's dead?
Is he though? Like, is that actually happening?
I guess so.
I can't believe
but...
for a second that they're not going to do pull some shenanigans at the last second.
Oh yeah, like he's Wolverine. Yeah. He'll regenerate, but they'll be like, oh, he's regenerating so slow.
Well, this solicitation here leads me to something I did read this week. I got caught up on all of my
Bucky and
Miracle Man reprints, the Alan Moore Marvel Man stuff, the original writer. So the stuff I'm at now is the sort of like two or three issues into the Eclipse run. So the original stuff was serialized in Warrior, and then Warrior kind of folded, and there was like a year or two between the cliffhanger at the end of the Warrior run and the start of Eclipse Comics picking it back up. And wrapping up the first part of that story, the problem is that those two first Eclipse issues are drawn by Chuck Austin, who would go on to write for Uncanny X-Men and then take his ball and go home because message boards made him cry. But his fucking art is so goddamn horrible that it really fucks up the power of that issue, because it's a good issue and it's a great book, and reading it is really giving me an appreciation for why Alan Moore is so grumpy that people have been ripping him off for years, because basically every time Mark Miller writes superheroes in the real world, he's just writing fucking Miracle Man fanfic. Like, it's fucking crazy. I just try to put my mind back to when this came out and try to imagine how different it would have felt. Because now we've read a million bad knockoffs of this realistic take on superheroes, but this one is so fucking good.
How many issues is it?
I think the Marvel run will go, I think, 24. Because Alan Moore, like, the Eclipse reprints, the first four or five of them are reprinting the Warrior stuff, and then he did it till issue 20 for Eclipse, and then Neil Gaiman did it for the next four. So it's not a super long run, but it was also the book that probably, that and like Captain Britain probably are what got him noticed and hired to write Swamp Thing.
Right.
But it's really cool.
Anyway. On a completely other note, there's a New Warriors book that has 12 issues.
It's the last issue. Yes,
yeah.
Really?
You know what though? I read the first two or three issues of it and it was pretty fun.
Did you read them on Marvel Unlimited?
I did. Nice. I quite liked them. So
yeah,
that's kind of
I like the first two issues.
I like the team they had. Like, it's like, I really like all those characters. I really like that. I like Kane, and I like Nova,
like Speedball
and Justice.
And,
you know, it was good. And Speedball, yeah, of course. I love Speedball. Remember when they made Speedball into Penance?
Penance, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was relentless. Did you ever listen to, there was used to be a comic podcast called Quiet Panelologists at Work?
No.
And it was these two British guys, and it was mostly just them, like, doing shtick. And sometimes they were fucking hilarious. And sometimes their jokes were just really, really dumb, but they would repeat them so many times that I'd start to laugh. And they would always call that book Penis Relentless. He's his penis, he's relentless. Oh my god, sometimes that podcast
that,
used to make
he
me
He had,
howl.
Like, a solo book called that?
The book was called Penance Relentless.
That's shitty.
And it's like, yeah, it's penis.
For the record, this Deadpool Art of War cover is really nice. Scott Koblish?
Yeah. Well, Scott Koblish is amazing. But
he's fantastic.
Deadpool.
Yeah, but it's a cool cover.
I wish we could go 1 week without me bitching about Deadpool.
Actually, you know what? I bet you that'd be okay, because it's Peter David, too. And Peter David, like, can't really write a bad comic
that's
book.
That's true. Peter David is pretty great. Anyway, that's all I have to say about Marvel. We're getting into the last couple publishers. Boom.
Yeah.
There's a new book from Boom by Justin Jordan. This book is called Deep State. I feel like there's been 800 books. Oh, yeah, they're reprinting the Howard the Duck omnibus.
Nice.
Yeah, new fresh printing.
Didn't you have that one?
No, I have it.
He has it, yeah.
Ah, that's what it is. Hey, guys, did you see Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, we've talked about it on the show, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's really good.
I think
did you see it yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Did you say?
I've seen it.
Oh, you stayed for the ending. You saw it. Well, you
of course.
Know the teaser, of course. How could you not?
Yeah,
when,
you told us the teaser.
Yeah,
right.
When
you
Donald
one
the Duck
of the,
was at the
three people... in the audience, everyone was just like, woohoo!
Wait a minute.
And I remember, it's funny, you can always tell what kind of fans are there, right? Because there's people like you and I who are just like, yeah! And everyone else is like, what the fuck?
The first time I went, there were like a pretty good amount of people like audibly groaning, like, oh.
You stayed for Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Like, show some respect for Howard the Duck.
And then there was me like, yeah.
Did you see the bobblehead that they're coming out with?
Yeah, I saw it.
Awesome.
It looks wicked.
Is it like Howard the Duck?
Yeah, it's like it's a cool design. On
yeah.
It. And you
get there's
the
nothing really new
the
for
baby
Groom.
Groom
the
oh, I did see that. Yeah. And now apparently, if you do that dance, it's called grooting. That's a thing now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's nothing else really that I need to mention, I don't think.
Here, hold on. I'm going to open to a random page and we'll talk about it.
Maybe some Dynamite stuff. The first issue of Django meets Zorro from Dynamite with Quentin Tarantino and Matt Wagner. So that's pretty cool. And Ron Mars is doing a John Carter World of Mars book. It'd probably be fun, but I don't know. I can't get over the... some of the covers on these books are so weird. Like, there's a Marilyn Monroe cover. But just looking at some of... Like, why does Deja Thoris always have to be in chains?
Hey, did you guys get that thing that was like the Renegade Arts?
I haven't looked at it yet, but yeah, I got it. It was a
There's
freebie.
Some stuff in there that kind of looks neat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a local publisher. Local-ish.
There's a new book coming out from Oni called Terrible Lizard by Cullen Bunn. It's like an all-ages book about a girl and a T-Rex running around having a good time. That could be fun.
Terrible Lizard. I'm in. Cool cover.
That was my nickname in high school.
Terrible Lizard.
The Terrible Lizard.
I thought it was like Big Chode or whatever.
Fat Chode.
Hey, yeah. I was gonna buy The Life After and then I didn't. So.
It's so good.
Maybe I'll give. I'll,
the trade's
I'll
coming
trade,
out.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be $29.99.
Now, do I buy that or do I buy the WWE Network, which is only
$9.99?
Hey, they're doing a Brides of Hell. I'm cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
$9.99 a month.
For the network? In the States. I don't know.
It's
a in Canada you have to be on Rogers, it's not the on demand thing. It's the stupid like
it's weird. The first day it came out, I had it on my Apple TV.
Oh really?
Like a little app came up.
Oh, and you got all excited?
And I was like, oh cool. And then it's like and then it was gone the next day.
Not available in Canada.
Like, oh. Sorry. Never mind.
But I wanted
I'm
it.
Really tempted to figure a way to get
there are ways.
I know there's ways, but it's like it takes some effort. So I'm like, but I'm really tempted to.
Well, the thing is, like, it'll take the same amount of effort for you to pirate whatever wrestling stuff you would want. So,
oh,
until they find a way to give it to you for the money.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not gonna do that because I'm a good person.
Because you're not gonna do it either. Yeah. Good.
No, I'm totally going to
person?
Because it's fucking bullshit that I can't get. Why can't I? Why
because
can't
the CRTC? That's why.
Yeah, it's stupid and I hate it. So I'm gonna keep stealing shit.
Well, it's time for us to talk about our favorites.
They want me to steal it.
I didn't read any comics this week, so previews is my favorite.
That's
a pretty good
inspired
preview.
Choice.
Did you see the 6 foot tall Boba Fett in there?
I did not. I don't usually look at the toys till later. Who needs a 6 foot tall Boba Fett other than maybe a store?
Who doesn't?
You but know it's, what? It's modeled after the old, like, the old toy.
I think.
Oh, like the old Kenner toy?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
shit.
I might have seen like
IGN
cool.
had an article about it.
That's actually kind of neat. I mean, I like the idea of building a giant 6 foot toy in the style of like a really shitty design toy from the fucking 70s.
Just this giant.
Just this like big old fucking action figure. Far out.
Well, I'll
talk about your
favorite.
Since you actually
we'll
had one.
My favorite was the Manhattan Project, number 23, from Jonathan Hickman and Nick Pitara. Because. Hickman. Because it makes me think of that South Park episode with Hackman.
Cartman!
And when Christopher Reeves gets, like, crazy strong from the stem cells when he keeps, like, cracking the babies open, or the fetuses open. Anyway, and then Gene Hackman is the hero, and Christopher Reeves keeps calling him Hackman. Have you ever seen that episode?
Probably.
It's the dumbest.
I've
it's amazing.
Them, so I probably have.
Yeah, it's about stem cells. But anyway, he'll crack the fetuses in half and then just go to like slurp the stem cells out of it's the weirdest thing. Anyways, this book is good and introduces the next best character in this book, Lyndon B. Johnson. Yeah, I don't know what else to say without spoiling.
Other than Lyndon B. Johnson,
yeah, without spoiling too much, it's really cool and. Nick Pitara, man. Nick Pitara is cool. So that's about as descriptive as I'm going to get.
Okay.
There's also a thing that's a robot, but it's got the head of an alien, a wolf, and a bear. Yep.
Cool.
Fidel Castro and Che Guevara are in it.
Far out.
That guy with the weird tentacle thing going on is in again.
I really regret allowing you to talk for this long about this book.
There's a thing.
Oh, good. A thing? No way. Blue Estate. Is that just a reprint of The Trade, or are they doing more?
Yeah, I think they're doing
reprint. Oh, it's the entire saga in a big hardcover. I really liked this book. I would consider
it. Who did
this.
It?
Victor Gishler and that artist that you don't like who did White Suits, among other people, whose name I can't think of at the moment.
Oh, the one
he's
that...
He's good. And his work is even better than this.
White Suits, like the Frank J. Barbary?
Yeah.
The
Dark Horse
movie.
Both
didn't like it?
Yeah, but you really didn't like his art.
Yeah.
I didn't like the story all that much. Or the art I thought was good, was pretty, but not very not very good storytelling. But this stuff was better than this. This was a really good book.
For the record, that's like the worst ad of all time, though. Because it like doesn't really give you anything about it.
Right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, they're not trying. At this point, they figure they've probably sold you this book 7 or 8 times. People aren't going to buy the deluxe hardcover if they weren't already a fan of the book.
Maybe I was going to. Also, this like ad for Sex, which sounds like a weird sentence, but it's an actual book called Sex. Is
I should look.
The
silliest one of these days, I'm going to get those trades.
I'm not.
Your friend and mine, friend of the show, or just person we know and have met and probably doesn't remember my name, Christopher Peterson, has worked on that book. Did you guys see his Big Barda drawing today?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Fucking awesome. And did you see, I don't know if it was a new drawing or not, but on Comics Alliance they had a Riley Rosmo Mr. Miracle. I don't know if that's old or new, but it's really good.
I didn't see that one.
They had like on Comics Alliance, they did like a big mega post of a lot of people's Kirby tributes for the day.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that Mr. Miracle is new or not, but either way, it's really sweet.
I was going to tweet a picture, but it turned out that Rob has done that.
Yeah.
Too many times.
Rob has been. But you know
Rob
what?
Has been tweeting
if
a lot of
gonna,
pictures.
If anybody is going to like spam your feed, at least it's somebody just posting cool comic art.
True, it's better than like.
I like that statue.
That
giant
of my butt.
Man Thing statue is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a giant version of it on that page. Next to the Boba Fett. Monument. That's actually pretty fucking awesome.
6 feet tall.
6 foot Kenner doll.
6 foot tall Kenner.
If they ever came out with like a 6 foot Mego, I'd be all over it.
$2,700.
Worth it. Worth it.
That you know, that's only like a store. Who's gonna buy that? And even then, maybe two of them. But then again, you probably only have to sell one or two of them, and then they've more than made enough profit to justify it.
I would trade my car for that. Mostly because my car is worth probably less than $2,700.
Yeah.
No, I got new brakes on it and new rotors
so
and new calipers.
$75,
so, yeah.
Well, in lieu of our favorite, I will plug our book that you can't order yet, but I'm looking at a Big Cartel page right now, so maybe at some time in the near future you would be able to theoretically buy Midnight Feature number one. A comics anthology written by the illustrious Justin Heggs. The illustrious Justin Heggs. The fabulous Rob Grzecki. The adequate Joey Grzecki. As well as artists such as Ben Michael Byrne, whose art is really fucking good.
Yep.
Kevin Lintz, whose art I... And Andy Kundrat, whose art I also really liked. That guy's stuff is sweet.
Yeah.
The art and lettering abilities of Mr. Matthew McGuigan. Famous for Daft Punk Tumblr comics. The art of Mr. Carson Long, famous for the cover of previously printed elsewhere.
And also having a beard.
Art
just
by
being a nice guy.
The diminutive, because she's not very big, and I'm looking for. I'm not as good as Stan at coming out with these names. H. Forsythe, with lettering by Matthew Moon. And last but not least, how do you pronounce this? Naze? Naze?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
She's your artist, bro. Naze Quinn.
I know, but she's she lives in France.
Oh, and Nijol Lehman did the Batman. I don't know who that person is either. Must be a friend of
his.
It's really good.
And you know what? If somebody has one and they bring it to me, I'll draw something on it.
Wait. And I buried a little bit of it, but a stunning cover art by none other than Riley Rosmo himself. The man is a demon, and he drew a demon for us. So, at some point in the near future, you may be able to buy it from us on Big Cartel, because I'm looking at... We can have a free cartel page if we only have 5 products, so we can... We only have
four
the
more
one,
products.
So we have the one, and I'm sure you still got some wolf hands kicking around and things like that, so it'll be this book and a bunch of Justin shit, but we'll hopefully have some...
And a life-size Boba Fett
It doesn't
statue.
Matter, yeah, and that. It doesn't matter, because no one's listening to this, but... It
should be at the Red and White Show.
Yes. If you... are listening to this, and how you are, we'll be at
sorry,
the red,
first.
We'll
first,
be at the Red and White Club show on September 14th. Justin has a table, which I will be crashing, because he's an established writer and artist, and I'm his friend, who strong-armed his way into this book.
So
I intend to sit beside him and be like, no, fuck you, we're partners now. You can't get rid of me, bud.
I'm going to go there and fucking big shot you guys so bad, just walk by with my head in the air, like, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's really good that Raleigh's going to be at that show, too. He's over there, you can get him. We should be like, Raleigh, could you put a couple of these on your table? Help some brothers out. But anyway, yeah, it's
who you
my
calling
first
bro,
published brother? Work. It's self-published, but it still counts. So I'm very excited, and... thanks to Justin for inviting me to be on the book and allowing me to just like say, all right, we're partners forever now. I'm taking over. I'm changing the lettering on the back. I'm telling you we're changing the price. I'm making decisions, brother. Mostly because I'm bored and I had was working on it. So sweet.
I think you should charge $17.
We're charging $6. We're going to get it for $6. For a perfect bound 44-page magazine-sized comics anthology deluxe zany fantastic machine,
it should be $17 for the first half of the book and then like I don't know 40 cents for the second half.
I don't know how we can do that.
Here's
secondly,
the last page.
Why?
Because worst case you are only selling half the book for a whole bunch of money and
so
then
you
might
get
go, somebody might get
one of Justin's stories, one of my stories, and half of Rob's story.
Yeah,
alright, that seems reasonable. Anyway,
I only care about your guys' stories. I don't really give a shit about
Rob's. We've talked long enough. We now have to go and figure out how to get this fucking book off to the printer. So
yeah, and I have to go put my child to bed.
Yeah. By that, you mean jerk it? It's a new euphemism.
Yeah.
Jerk it.
Can I go
until,
put my child to sleep?
Not next week. We're off next week because I'm on vacation. And if I'm not around, we don't do a show. As
I'm
going to
record
would
solo.
Point out, because I think I talked more on this episode than on every other episode.
Yeah, I'm sleepy, and I had a grumpy day. So.
I could theoretically do a show by myself, I think.
Oh,
just, like,
yeah.
Talk to myself.
Yeah.
I could do your guys' voices. Like, Justin would just be, like, laughing, which would be fine.
And then
and Ryan's
be
like,
just like... Ryan's would be like... I just used a third... Okay. I would be like...
Black fags.
In a world where Ryan can't say flag without
Evil
saying fag.
Vladimir Putin. Did you guys see the David Lynch ALS Ice Bucket Challenge?
No, I refuse to watch anything David Lynch.
No,
anymore.
First of all, it is amazing because he not only does he do it, but he also adds a shot of iced coffee to it. And then he does, and then when it's all over and done with, he says, all right, and now the challenge portion, I would like to challenge Vladimir Putin. And then that's the end. So he challenges Vladimir Putin for the Ice Bucket Challenge. It is the greatest thing. Actually, the best one is the Scotty Young one, but the second best one is the David Lynch one.
I'm over it. I'm just over ALS.
I'm over ALS.
Meh.
Do you notice like the disdain in my
that
voice?
The title of this podcast, but I'm worried that like you wouldn't get this far into the episode to understand why that I'm making fun of Ryan.
So you just call it Ice Bucket Challenge or something. Get
yeah.
all those hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or,
stay tuned to the end.
Black bag.
Yeah, black bag. What, no, I was the fair women, the fairer race.
The fairer race, that's what it was. The fairer race. All right, until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Vladimir Putin.
No.
And I'm David Lynch. Hello, Coop. See you next week on the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup.
Duh.
I love you.
Duh. Wait, wait. In a world where
I
David
love
Lynch didn't make a shitty movie every time each
you're
movie.
An asshole.